Following Transport Minister Fikile Mbalula's announcement toward the end of May that limited domestic air transportation could take place in level three of the nationwide lockdown, Fly Safair has decided to take to the skies. But it's not a straightforward process. If everything goes to plan, the airliner is hoping to resume limited flights by the middle of June. Well, to tell us more, I'm joined on the line by Kirby Gordon. He's Chief Marketing Officer at Fly Safair. Thank you so much for joining us, Kirby. So what were some of the impacts and challenges that you guys faced when the nationwide lockdown was called and airliners like yourselves just had to suddenly stop service?
Good evening. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the reality is that the impact was absolute. I mean, we just couldn't fly at all, which meant that all of our aircraft were grounded and there was just absolutely no revenue coming into the business yet. Unfortunately, still costs on a monthly basis, which were quite unavoidable. So it was pretty much as bad as it can get.
Absolutely. So just in terms of staff, I mean, what has happened in that regard? Do you still have the same staff complement or have you had to make adjustments over the period?
Yes, fortunately, we employ about 1,200 people directly, and we're fortunate enough, in fact, very fortunate in the gambit of airlines, that we didn't have to initiate any Section 189 processes. So we haven't had any retrenchment. We still have our full complement of staff. We've obviously negotiated through the process with our team, and everybody has made pretty severe sacrifices. But we've done so with the view that everyone can hold on to their jobs and that we'll all get back to work as soon as we possibly can, which fortunately now is going to be this month.
Yes. So you've now been given the go-ahead to run a limited service across the country. So what's the origination and destination plan? In other words, where are you going to be flying to and flying from?
Right. So the limitations that have been placed in terms of the regulations at this stage indicate that we can only fly between what we call in aviation, warmly, the golden triangle, which is, of course, between Johannesburg, Cape Town and Durban. Mm. Johannesburg does include Lanseria, fortunately. So we'll be operating on all of those routes. You'll see us from Joburg, Cape Town, from Owatambo and from Lanseria. You'll see Cape Town, Durban, and then you'll see Johannesburg to Durban from both Owatambo and Lanseria as well.
Yeah. Now, getting the permission to go ahead doesn't just mean that your pilots get their keys and start flying. There are quite a number of hoops through which that, you know, you have to jump in order to be able to fly. Just take us through some of the administrative hassle that you're going to have to go through before you can fly come mid-June, if indeed you manage to hit that target.
Right. So, I mean, there are a number of considerations that are in place. Unfortunately, we've been quite proactive in terms of addressing them. So we only heard the details in terms of what the regulatory requirements would be, but we had on Sunday with the rest of the, or on Saturday with the rest of the nation, but we had already prepared some schedules that were based on what we anticipated would happen. Fortunately, those schedules were approved by both ACSA and the Air Traffic Navigation Services. So those flights have now been listed for sale on our website already. So we're good to go from that perspective.
Yeah.
And there are a number of other considerations that, of course, relate more specifically to readiness with regard to COVID-19 and COVID-19, you know, the spread of the transmission and preventing it.
Yeah.
And those were, again, a number of measures where we were quite proactive in terms of just crafting the kind of journey that we believed would be the best one for our customers before even actually understanding what the regulations were. Unfortunately, once they were published, I think we'd hit every nail on the head and then some. So we're quite comfortable that we've put a number of measures in place to actually make sure that flying is incredibly safe.
I like that, and then some. So how are you guys going to make air travel safe for passengers going forward?
Right, so the whole experience of air travel is going to be quite different, and I think it's valuable for you know, anyone considering flying in the next little while to actually just consider it for a second, because it's not just the experience on the aircraft that's going to change, but it will also be your experience of moving through the airport. So in these early phases, what will happen is that there will be restrictions to access of the actual terminals. So the port health authorities will be outside terminals, and they'll be screening individuals before you're even allowed into the terminals themselves. Only passengers will be allowed in, no meters and greeters or anyone dropping or meeting anybody.
Yeah.
So it'll be passengers only, screenings at the door, health screenings, temperature screenings, you must wear a mask to access. You must have your permit that says that you're flying for business purposes.
Yeah.
On the aircraft itself, lots of sanitation measures, masks, social distancing, everything that you would expect.
Hmm. You know, there are many of us who take chances when we're doing local travel. Like, you know what? Oh, our Tambo is just around the corner and we get there just an hour before departure. Based on what you're saying, I take it that check-in time would be far earlier than the scheduled takeoff.
So we're actually keeping our limits to be the same as what they usually are. So check-in will close 40 minutes before a flight departs, so that we can manage the boarding processes. But you're absolutely right in identifying that that passengers are well advised to arrive a little bit earlier. And this has got more to do with the process of actually accessing the terminal. We are anticipating a degree of congestion in that regard. Mm. And in fact, AXA have put out advice to say that passengers should arrive at least 2 hours before their flights depart, just to ensure that they're not held up outside the terminal, desperately trying to get in to board their flight.
Yeah. From your perspective, does flying on a limited basis as per the government regulations, does it make economic sense? And if it doesn't, why opt to fly now?
Right. I mean, it is frankly a bit of a gamble. The reality is that we are a 17 aircraft operation, and we're flying at the moment with about 4 or 5 aircraft so we've got a 17 aircraft operation that's operating on the basis of 4. So it's very difficult for us to even dream of making a profit. But the hope is to just become at least somewhat cash positive on those flights,
yeah,
so that we can at least get them to those aircraft to pay for their own leases. That would put us in a better position than what we would be with them just standing on the ground. But of course, the gamble is, can you make up your operating costs and then, you know, a little bit more to be able to actually contribute toward those leases to be in a better position than what you were before? And therein lies the great unknown at this stage. We've got a constrained capacity. We've got additional constraints in terms of the routes that we can fly and who is actually eligible to fly. So we're sitting with bated breath at the moment. Tickets are on sale. We're watching the sales volume. And we're just hoping, like anything, that we can fill enough of those seats for it to make sense come the 15th.
Yeah. You're the marketing officer. That's actually going to be quite tough. How are you going to determine if the person who's trying to purchase a ticket is the right person?
Right. So we have to be quite clear in that process, and obviously that's the law as well. But in terms of the actual process of purchasing, the fact that you need your permit, that is a declaration that you are traveling for work purposes, is an essential element of the entire transaction. So without that piece of paper, you really would not be able to gain access to the terminal at all. So that's really, really key. And we've actually put together a little tool on our website. It's an online wizard that users can use to actually make application for those tools. You input your information and those of the institution that you work for, and it spits out the little permit, which you then need to get signed by the relevant individual at your organization, and you'll be good to go.
Yeah. From where you stand, when must you absolutely be in a position to run at full service before your viability as an airliner starts to hang in the balance?
That's a question that is sort of how long is a piece of string with regard to how much can we actually achieve in the next little while. And then, of course, how deep we would have to go in terms of what financing we would be able to secure to maintain, a lifeline for a little bit longer. At this stage, we're in quite a fortuitous position. We're very glad that we are flying now. We possibly could have held on for a few more months if we had needed to under a lockdown circumstance.
Right.
But of course, the big risk comes in now if we start operating and don't cover our own costs. We have the potential to burn a lot more money than what we would have just been hunkered down.
Yeah. And just coming back to the whole COVID-19 issue, I did see something in the regulations that there must be a spot for suspicious customers. What's going to happen in that regard? If someone is on the aircraft and you suspect that they may have COVID-19 symptoms, how are you going to deal with that?
Right, so domestically, we're in a fortunate position in that the longest flight that we have is about 2 hours. So given that there's such rigorous screening procedures at the airport terminal beforehand, it's relatively unlikely that we'll get somebody that will suddenly fall so desperately ill during the course of a flight or during the course of a journey. Those are very, very significant considerations, obviously, on the long-haul environment. But the regulations have insist that that all airlines keep the back row of seats open for any suspicious cases. So obviously, as part of our preparedness, our crew are trained in terms of what to look out for, and they also know what procedures to follow should somebody be deemed or be feeling ill. They have all of the temperature screening equipment and whatnot on board, and then those individuals would then be escorted away from other passengers into those empty seats in that back row for the rest of the trip.
Given that you are going to be running a limited service, are you going to be utilising all of your staff? Are they going to be on rotation? How is it going to work?
So we will be utilizing all of our staff, but as part of our agreements that we made with the organization, obviously everybody is working reduced hours, by proxy, you know, reduced pay as a result.
Yes.
So everyone will be working in rotation, but obviously our shifts will be a lot shorter and a lot less.
Right. Kirby, pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for your time. That was Kirby Gordon. He's Chief Marketing Officer at Fly Safair.